For that wonderful message and song. And good morning, church. Happy Sabbath and greetings to all. But a special shout out to my sisters in Christ today, because today is Women's International Day of Prayer. As women, we are called to pray. And Ellen White, a woman of prayer, gives us this counsel. There is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer up a petition to God. There is nothing that can prevent us from lifting up our hearts in the spirit of earnest prayer. In the crowds of the street, in the midst of a business engagement, we may send up a petition to God and plead for divine guidance, as Nehemiah did when he made his request before Artaxerxes. A closet of communion may be found wherever we are. We should have the door of the heart open continually and an invitation going up, that Jesus may come and abide as a heavenly guest in the soul. Since 1990, the Department of Women's Ministry at the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists has promoted a special day when women have the opportunity to strengthen their spiritual bonds as they pray for and with each other. The International Women's Day of Prayer is the first Sabbath in March, so here we are. Why do we continue to promote this day each year? Because everything we do must be built on the foundation of prayer. It is through prayer that our faith in God grows. As we see his answers, know that he enables us, that he guides us, fills us, and comforts us. Over the past years, this special day has been celebrated in a variety of ways, by prayer meals, fasting and prayer, consecration services, women preaching the sermons for church services, and also by special programs. Today, Pastor Ganna has kindly agreed to allow the Women's Ministry Department here at Central to do the program for divine service. Thank you, Pastor Ganna, wherever you are. The International Women's Day of Prayer provides an opportunity for women to learn about each other and pray for each other. Community is one of God's greatest gifts. It moves us beyond self-interest and the isolation of private lives, and beyond the superficial social contacts that pass for Christian fellowship. Remember, the only prayer that Jesus taught us begins with "Our Father" and not "My Father." Prayers for women everywhere create a spiritual network of empathy and understanding between Adventist women. On this day, thousands of women and men gather together to pray. Although the essential purpose of the day is for prayer, the day also provides women with an opportunity to strengthen their ties with other Christian women as they pray together and strengthen their commitment to God. Although today COVID has thwarted our opportunity to get together as a group to physically pray together, it cannot take away the fact that God is good. His word is a wonderful light that continues to shine brightly, and prayer is as powerful as it was yesterday, as it is today, and will always be tomorrow. This year, our Day of Prayer is focused on the Seventh-day Adventist World Church theme for the years 2020 to 2025, which is, "I Will Go." "I Will Go" is a rallying call to every member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to be part of a total ministry involvement. It is a call to mobilize our resources efficiently and productively, to be flexible and to answer God's call, to put aside our own plans, and move in whatever direction he calls us to go while saying, "Yes, I will go." Women's Ministries has adapted the theme to read, "I will go, reach my world." What does reaching our world mean? Reaching our world means to reach out and touch the hearts and lives of someone in the center of your influence, whether it be your own family, friends, neighborhood, or workplace. Reaching our world is to show and tell the world the good news of our Savior. Today, our program focuses on the impossible things God calls us to do, with examples of women in the Bible that God called to do the impossible, and then through his grace and strength, he made it possible. So today, we will listen to a few stories about women who faced difficult situations. Each woman had to make a life-changing decision. Although they faced different circumstances, lived in different places, as well as different moments in history, they needed to make a decision. If they decided one way, history would have been different, not only for them personally, but but for the history of entire nations. So let's listen carefully as the Holy Spirit speaks to you through these stories. Open your heart and mind to hear his message of you today as you face decisions that you may need to make.
Good morning, church family. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you so much that you are with us, that you are present. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Today, Lord, we ask that you would send your Spirit upon us, that you'd open our hearts, each one of us, that we would be prepared and ready to listen to where you are calling us and to be obedient, even when it's hard. We put our trust in you, O Lord. Amen. Good morning. It's an honor to be here with you and to share this story with you. She was beautiful, young, and unmarried. Like most young women, she thought of her life and wondered, what would the future be? What's next? Would she get married? Would she remain with her parents for her entire life? If she were to marry, what kind of person would she like to marry? Would he be handsome? Would he be kind? I wonder what qualities he would have. It was common that girls would marry a distant relative in that time. There were no relatives around where she lived. She knew she had relatives in another place, but it was too far, and they never visited one another. One of her daily duties was to go and fetch water for the family. She usually joined other girls from the village, but today she was alone. As she approached the well, she saw a foreigner who had obviously come from away. She knew everybody in her village, so it was clear to spot a stranger. She also saw the camels nearby, another clear sign. Who was this guy? Where is he from? What is he doing here? Did he come to visit someone in her village, or is he simply passing by? She had no idea that because of this man on this very day, her life would be changed forever. Her thoughts were stopped abruptly by the stranger's request. He needed water to drink. She gave him water, but her hospitality did not stop there. She offered to give his camels water as well. This was a large task, of which she volunteered gladly. Little did she know that this very act was a fulfillment of a sign that this man requested from God. She noticed that he was watching her intently while she worked, and she saw him take something out of his bag. What a surprise! He gave her a gold nose ring and two bracelets. Then he asked her, "Whose daughter are you? Is there room for me to spend the night at your father's house?" She politely answered her name and that she has room to accommodate him and his camels. When she mentioned Abraham, she ran right back to her house as fast as she could. Now that she was home, she told her family exactly what happened to her. Her brother went to bring the stranger in, and they looked after him as well. They fed the camels, prepared food for him and his entourage, as well as the water to refresh themselves. The guest was grateful, but would not eat until he disclosed the whole purpose of his visit. He wanted to secure this amazing girl for marriage to his master. Her family decided, wow, we would be honored, and they decided to give their daughter in marriage. She was getting married! There was a wedding to plan! As if the first shock wasn't enough. In the morning, the man announced that he wanted to leave immediately. Her family wanted 10 days of farewell with her, but he wanted to leave straight away. They resolved that it would be up to her to make that very large decision. Have you ever been in a situation like this, where you need to make a decision right away that will change your life completely? I think many, if not all of us, can relate. It had to be overwhelming. I prefer to have time to think, prepare, write a pros and cons list, debate it with God, get familiar with the circumstances, pray again, and pace back and forth. I often like to set up my life, make plans, then inform God of what's going to happen. It doesn't always work very well. Often I end up going to God and asking him for help afterwards. She had no indication whether she would see her parents or brothers again. I'm sure she would have loved to say a proper goodbye to her village friends. She was getting married. It was a big deal. We'll find her answer in Genesis 24, verse 58. That's Genesis 24, verse 58, if you'd like to turn with me. She said, or it said, "So they called Rebecca, and they asked her, 'Will you go with this man?' 'I will go,' she said. 'I will go.'"
Good morning, church. Okay, this morning I'm going to tell you a very short story, very powerful message. It was a very difficult time. 20 years of oppressive foreign government with military far superior than any other governments. 20 years, that's a long time. An entire generation of people that were born there and grew up in this cruelly oppressive environment. Sometimes people just need to get used to whatever the circumstances they find themselves in. But eventually, all cruel governments will topple down, will fall down. However, nothing was happening for 20 years in this part of the world. And then the revelation came. She received a clear message from God, which she needed to pass on. It was exciting news. God had a plan for freeing her people from this terrible oppression, and she acted immediately. As per God's revelation, she had to deliver a message to a man who was going to lead the people out of bondage. It was an amazing plan, and she was eager for this to happen as soon as possible. God was going to lure the enemy to a flat area near the river, and she knew what God was going to do. With the heavy machinery that this oppressive government was counting on, it was going to be the perfect trap. The area was prone to become impassable for the rain when the rain fell, and the man chosen to lead the revolt meant Thunderbolt. It was all perfectly clear. The enemy army would be lured to this area, not knowing the conditions that, well, they would be stuck in the mud when God sent rain, thunder, and lightning. It would be easy to overpower them and deliver the nation from the oppressor. This woman, she was a very well-known person. She was very well-respected. She served as a judge, and people came to her constantly so she can solve all the problems, the quarrels, the disputes. So she requested to fetch this man, and her request was obeyed right away. They probably saw the excitement in her eyes that something great was going to happen. What she didn't expect was that her excitement was not going to be reciprocated by the receiver of the message. When Mr. Thunderbolt came and heard the message from God that she delivered to him, he was not excited at all. He replied with an ultimatum, and actually it was a very strange ultimatum. Until now in the Bible, we have seen that only men go to battle. Women had other duties. She did not plan on being in this adventure either. She has other duties. She was a wife and probably a mom. She was a judge and a prophetess. So she has a lot on her plate, a lot of responsibilities on her shoulder. His ultimatum was as follows: "If you go, I will go with you. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." She probably couldn't believe her ears what this guy was replying to her. Instead of listening something like, "Yes, I will go. Yes, I'm ready. Okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do." No, he basically said, "I am not interested." Have you ever been in a situation when you're busy with your life and you're excited about something new, future ahead is coming up, and then something happens and then you need to change the course, you need to change the direction, you're going in this way and then, no, you have to go the other way? What do you think she would do in this situation? We'll find her answer to Barak's ultimatum in Judges 4:9, and it says, "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you." And this is the answer of a woman guided by the Holy Spirit. "I will go with you."
God is so faithful. Can I get an amen? Amen. As I've been studying this week and seeking, Lord, how exactly do you want me to share, and how can I share so that your spirit and your heart can be shared as well? He's been saying, Kara, this is mostly just for you. Kara, I want you to listen. And so I pray that each of you, as we're listening and as our hearts are open, that we are listening, God, where are you calling me to go, and how can I continue to seek you? There are different ways some people stand out from the crowd in a community. A sure way to achieve that for a woman is to marry a man who is a foreigner. In close communities, everybody knows everybody, and such decisions are very important decisions to make, as the consequences last a lifetime. And that is exactly what she did. She married a foreigner. But that was only the beginning of her amazing story, an often difficult life. Her husband had a brother who also married a woman from her village. I don't know who married first, or whether they both married at the same time, but we can assume that it must have been easier for these women to navigate together. As the talk in the village subsided, she worked her way to fit in with the new family and where she belonged. As it happens in new marriages, adjustments often take place. Each person brings their tastes, their habits, their manners, their preferences, their language, their way of thinking, which needs to be explored, understood, challenged, respected, and then adopted. Another significant matter that they were dealing with was religion. His religion was different to hers, and she began to admire his religion and his upbringing. The first year of their marriage passed, and there was no news to share. The second passed too, and now the village started talking and speculating. Why is there no child yet in their family? As if it were not difficult enough for her to struggle with that issue, comments from others must have added to those difficulties. But the worst was yet to come. First, her father-in-law passed away. It was such a heavy blow to the family. Her mother-in-law was inconsolable. She liked her mother-in-law a lot, and they got along very well. But as if the death of her father-in-law was not enough, two more heavy blows hit the family. Her brother-in-law and her own beloved husband died. What sorrow fell on all three women. It's hard to imagine the depths of sadness they must have felt. No husband to look after them, and no children to give them the hope of the future. Then the news came, which was both good and bad. The good news was that they heard the famine in the land where her husband came from had ended, and there was plenty of food there. The bad news is that the mother-in-law, who she loved, decided to return. What was going to happen to her? What future was there for her? Where did she belong? The initial decision was that the three women would go together: she, her mother-in-law, and her sister-in-law. They were a family now, and it was good for them to stay together. Preparations were made, goodbyes were said, and now they were on the road walking. She was leaving the place she was comfortable with, people she knew, customs she knew, the language that she knew, to go to a place she had never seen before, to live with people she did not know. It's a very difficult decision, but it was made, and they were on their way. Then her mother-in-law stopped. She realized this is far too much for young women, her dear daughter-in-laws, to leave the people and come with her. She had nothing to offer them where they were going. Her mother-in-law said she didn't know how she herself would be accepted once back after years of absence. How would she look after herself, let alone two other women? So her mother-in-law urged her and her two daughter-in-laws to go back to their own home village and start a new life. It would be easier to do that than to continue on with her. Have you ever been in a situation that where life has given you so much grief? Perhaps your loved ones have died and then you had to make a very difficult decision. Perhaps the church has had a COVID case and you have a lot to deal with. Perhaps your family feels like it's falling apart. There are many times where you have to make a very difficult decision. Maybe you needed to leave your homeland and go to a new country where you knew nobody. How difficult was that for you? Her sister-in-law decided that her mother-in-law had a valid point and reluctantly said goodbye and turned back. What should she do now? Should she join her sister-in-law and return to her relatives? Perhaps find her husband or find a new husband and or remain unmarried for the rest of her life? Would she stay with her mother-in-law and start a new life without the assurance that there would even be a future for her? Where would she stay? How long might she live? Where would she die and be buried? Her decision was firm and clear. We read it in Ruth 1, verse 16. It says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go.'" Above her known comforts and safety in the midst of her mourning, she chose to follow, and she declared, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I will go."
Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. I hope we can be blessed and learn something from this young woman who had to make a very important decision. "He was doing what?" She was so shocked. "Yes, he is covered with ashes, his clothes are completely torn, he is wailing bitterly and loudly, and he is wearing sackcloth," her maids replied. This was terrible news. She had no idea what in the world was happening to her dear cousin. Her love and gratitude towards him swelled, and images of her growing years flashed before her mind. She didn't really remember much of what had happened when her parents had died, but she remembered growing up with her loving cousin, who was more like an uncle to her. He looked after her. He loved her dearly and did all that he could for her to have enough food, shelter, and safety when growing up. He protected her and installed a strong sense of who she was in her. Other memories flashed through her mind, how she was taken from him to join other young women to the royal house. A smile came across her face as she remembered all the pampering she had to go through for an entire year in order to meet the king. Then the amazing banquet where she actually became the queen. Royal life and duties separated her from her dear cousin, and she wasn't able to spend as much time with him as she had wished. But to hear this news about his condition troubled her greatly. Her first impulse was, "I need to send him new clothes." Perhaps he was in financial difficulty, and she was more than happy to help. I mean, he took care of her all these years. But soon, matters became even worse. Her cousin refused to take the clothes. Why? She had no idea, but she had to find out. She could not have imagined how bad the situation must have been. Although she was now a part of the royal family, she was not really part of the royal politics of the day. But her cousin was very informed on what was happening. Once before, because of him and her intervention, her king, the husband's life was spared. But this time, the stakes were much, much higher. Her cousin sent her all the information, including the written publication of the new official order that affected everyone that was a Jew. Her cousin urged her to see the king, to beg him for mercy, and to plead with him for her people. By now, she was very aware of the royal protocols, and due to the previous plot to assassinate the king, the security measures were much tighter. Anyone approaching the king without a summon could be killed, unless the king showed special mercy by lifting his scepter. It was too much of a risk, though. She didn't know if she could do what her cousin had asked. But her cousin's appeal touched her heart in a special way. According to him, this situation was most possibly the main reason why God had put her in the position that she was in the first place. This deadly plot against the Jews called for her to step up and fight for her people, that she was put in this position for such a time as this. So, church family, have you ever been in a position of leadership where you had to make an important decision, where you had to speak on a certain issue or speak up on behalf of someone who had no voice? What did you do? If you took action or if you didn't take action, how did you feel? What would you have done in Esther's situation? Well, Esther pondered seriously on her cousin Mordecai's words. Then she sent him her reply. We read in Esther 4 verse 16 that she says, "Go and gather all the Jews in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. I and my maids will do the same. And when this is done, I will go."
We have heard 4 stories about different women in the Bible. Can we now include one man? Just one man? I think so. Some people can see the future. They are visionary leaders. They see a much bigger picture and adapt their life accordingly, as well as prepare their followers. He was one such leader. He clearly saw the future and tried to prepare his team for what was coming. He knew that for his followers, it was going to be a very difficult time. So he tried to prepare them for these difficult few days, devastating few days, terrible few days. For months, if not years, he had been trying to make them understand. It was to no avail. They were completely blind to his vision of what was ahead. But this evening was the last evening he would spend with his closest team members. What a better way to spend the last evening together before a big event than to have a dinner together. It was one of the yearly occasions when families got together for this meal. However, he made sure that they would remember this one by changing some of the rituals associated with the occasion. When dinner was over, they went for a walk. He told them that this very night they would experience what none of them expected. They just had this special meal. Yes, it was somewhat different, but it was still great being together. They loved their leader and enjoyed spending time together. So again, they would not understand what he meant when he said that they would all desert him. This word he used meant that they would fall away, they would turn away, have their faith in him shaken, stumble in their faith on account of him, they would be ashamed of him and leave him. He knew how devastated they would be. He had to find a way to give them hope. Something that they would remember, something that would bring them out of the bottom they would hit. Something simple but yet profound. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to say something important to someone at a crossroads in life? What did you say? What do you wish you had said? We read what he said in Matthew 26, 31 and 32. On the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." This was not the first time Jesus said, "I will go." A long time before sin came to this world and a solution was needed, he said, "I will go." Although he knew it was going to be difficult, very difficult. It was going to be painful. He would be misunderstood, dishonored, disrespected, hated, eternally separated from his father, and yet he said, "I will go." Why would anybody be willing to go on a mission like that? Today, we met Rebecca, Deborah, Ruth, Esther, and Jesus at major moments in their lives. They all had one thing in common. At a crucial time in their lives, whether it affected them personally or impacted their entire nation, they needed to decide. Each time, it was a life-changing situation, and the decision they made is summarized by these 3 words, "I will go." Church, today, you may also be facing a decision. God may be calling you to go. He may be calling you to go to your spouse and ask for forgiveness for a hurt you may have caused. What will your answer be? I will go. God may be calling you to share your story of how God changed your life, or to listen to someone else's story, someone else's pain. What will your answer be? I will go. God may be calling you for a special divine appointment, one set aside just for you. And God is not interested in your ability. He's only interested in your availability. What will your answer be? I will go. God may be calling you to go to another country to live and work there and share the gospel through your life. What will your answer be? I will go. Today, what is the Holy Spirit whispering in your ear? Where is God calling you to go today? And what will your answer be? My sisters, we're all called. First, to accept the gift of salvation that God so freely has offered us. Then to live each day, allowing the love of Christ to flow through us. Excuse me. And finally, to reach out and touch and make a difference in the world with that love. If we unite in purpose and reach our individual worlds, we will together reach the entire world. I will go reach my world. What about you? May God bless and empower you on this special day today, when millions of his daughters around the world are joining their voices and approaching the throne of grace with prayers for miracle work and power and wisdom to do the Father's will. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." May the love of Jesus empower you today to answer, "I will go, here I am, send me, Lord." Can we please stand for the benediction?